my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a climber with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, Trade XPod. Let's go.
I am Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
And I'm P-Win Dynasty, and I definitely have a trading problem.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to session 389 of the TradeX podcast, where even though the network went away, the DAP is always here to stay. So drop a DAP in the chat or the comments if you're with us, and we appreciate all of you. And today, as you hear, we have a new guest to the show, but a TA alum, as he'll probably tell you, or not alum, I guess participant. It's a long day. Paul, aka P-Win Dynasty. Paul, thanks for coming on. How are you?
Good. Excited to be here. Yeah, I'm a longtime listener. I used to pester Russ like no other to start new Trade Addicts leagues, and finally got him to start 10 like 4 years ago, which it's hard to believe it's been that long.
It's crazy.
Don't give Dynastud that thought, because he wants to start TA12. So if we teach him that you can pester for TA12, you cannot, Ari. No. Before we get started, why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah, so P-Win Dynasty. I've just been a Dynasty player for forever. Been enjoying the game, and honestly, the big thing for me this year is I needed something to help me manage all of my leagues, and so I started an app. There's a lot of them out there that allow you to kind of just sync and see what's going on with your leagues, but I wanted to help create a tool that allows you to actually do some management of your dynasty teams and your rosters in the site. So I started rosterdash.com to allow me to sync MFL leagues, be able to see open trades, send out offers automatically from the site. Kind of the big piece is, hey, you want to sell hot name on the waiver wire today, and I'm sure we'll get into some of those comments later on in the show for the trades. You want to sell them for a first or sell them for a second? Click a couple buttons and you send that offer to every team in your league. So that's the big thing for me. Also, I hated seeing a bunch of open offers expiring in my inboxes in all my leagues. So click one button, get to see any open offers that you have, allows you to make sure you're actually managing your leagues. So started that up right around the beginning of this season, adding new features as we go. So really exciting process.
Awesome. And as you know, as a listener, when we have a first time guest, we go through our little interview. So you said you've been playing Dynasty forever. So how long have you been playing fantasy overall?
My first year of fantasy football was, I think Rocky might remember, the Kurt Warner year when he came off of the bench. That was my first experience in fantasy football. So I kind of hooked ever since, but it took me a while to get into Dynasty. I think it was 2014. So that was about 10 years or so after I started fantasy before I got into Dynasty. Took off from there. I think, you know, everyone's used to that exponential growth of Dynasty leagues. I was in one, and then I think I was in three, and then nine, and then before you know it, you're in 20 plus. So yep.
Yeah.
Well, been there.
I'm 31. When did Kurt Warner come off the bench? What year was that?
Early 2000s?
Yeah, it was early 2000s, somewhere around there.
Just checking. In your fantasy time, what are some of the best trades you've made?
Some of the best trades that I've made, I do a lot of startup trades. I feel like that's where my best trading is, where I'll accumulate a lot and then end up using those picks in that first season. So a couple times I haven't done a startup this year, but the past year and the year before, I think I had like five or six firsts, and I turned six firsts into Chase, Jefferson, and a couple future firsts. So being able to take those assets and cash those in is always fun. I think my all-time favorite trade, though, was I turned Ladarius Green, tight end, gosh, years ago, into a future first that turned into Ezekiel Elliott. And the best part about that trade was the guy I traded it to, or traded Ladarius Green to and got the 101 from, was a huge Cowboys fan. So I got to hold Zeke on my roster for years and just rub that in his face that he got it for some stud tight end that never turned out.
Yeah.
Always go when you can screw over a Cowboys fan.
Always.
Virgil Green was a Charger, right? Or was he a Steeler? Maybe both.
Ladarius Green, right?
That's what I meant. Sorry.
Yeah. Charger. Yeah.
I believe it was.
I'm thinking Virgil Green. That's who I'm thinking of.
And then worst trades, I think you said worst trades too, but
yeah.
I remember, I think I sold Tyreek Hill after his rookie season. So not even on the abuse issues, but after his rookie season, I needed a roster spot. And I think I traded him for a third after he had already had a pretty good year. That one always hurt. It's selling the guy that broke out that actually turned into something. That's I think my weakness.
Yeah. I am one of those as well. I have traded, like when Puka was hot, I traded him for just a first, like a random first, because I'm like, there's no way he can keep doing
this. I did that in multiple leagues.
It's so hard to know when to get out.
I turned down to sending Cooper Kupp for Puka Nacua after like three or four games too.
Just the worst. It's so hard to know when to get out of players. But what's a guiding principle you have in trading?
I generally try to get the best player. That's typically where I try to go. I'm the kind of person when I'm sending trades, I'm happy to give you 500 nickels if I can get you over the edge. Now, I'm not saying 500 nickels for the best asset, but if we're close, I always want to add a little bit more to my side and the smaller pieces to get over the top. I'm all about the studs on the team.
Yeah. So rebuilding must be hard for you then, because you got to usually consolidate assets when you're contending and then the other way when you're rebuilding. So how do you think about that?
Yes and no, because I do also like to move in tiers to get future assets. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to make it sound like I'm bragging, but I don't have a ton of teams where I end up in full rebuild, because I get myself to a point where I can get more of the churn going on. You know, when you do have to rebuild, absolutely everything goes out the window, and I hate those teams.
Yeah, me too. I have a couple of them in trade addicts leagues. So, all right, let's get into the news. There wasn't a ton of major things. I feel like there wasn't a Puka or, any of those major out for the seasons. The big one is Mike Evans, who is out for the season with a broken clavicle, collarbone. Yes, if patreon.com/TreyXPod, you can see Paul's jersey wall, and Mike Evans is one of them. But, Paul, what are you doing with the rest of the Bucs now? Godwin, I would assume, is back this week, if not this week. Bucky is probably on his way back. McMillan, I don't think we know anything, but and then you have the Tez Shepherd contingent. So what are you doing with all of this? Obviously, Ibuka is just a monster now.
Yeah, Ibuka, you're not going to get on any sort of discount, even though he didn't really do that much on this week. Mm-hmm. But Godwin hasn't looked great. I mean, if you can get him thrown in, great. Just not really sure what he's going to be like the rest of the year. If I'm buying someone, it might even just be Cade Otton knocking on the Bucky Irving door, because he's been out of sight, out of mind for so long that maybe you can get him not at the early first price, maybe the late first or a couple seconds. Someone might be a little nervous, because I think, don't they have their bye coming up too?
They haven't had it yet. I don't remember when exactly their bye is.
I think it's next week.
That would make sense. They're not part of the bipocalypse, which I didn't touch on yet, but we have a question on that later. So, six teams on
by this week. Where I would go with Tampa right now. I'm not going to put any sort of draft capital or anything into the little guys yet.
Yeah. Rock.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind buying Godwin pretty cheap. I mean, I feel like you can get him really cheap right now. Mm-hmm. And I know he, like, Pewin said, he did not look great when he came back, but he was coming back from injury. Obviously, he will be coming back from injury again. But with Evans out the entire season, maybe Godwin rounds back into form with a few weeks back. And you're probably not going to have to pay a very high price for him. So I can't imagine, you know, paying more than like a second or something like that at this point.
Right. Let's do an Ibuka question. If you were offered 226 firsts, would you sell Ibuka?
Would I sell him for two? No. I honestly don't know that I would give two firsts because I don't like to give two firsts straight up. But if you've got him, I think you want to look for another piece, or, you know, like we were saying at the beginning, what can you get? You know, can you do Ibuka and a second and get up to Jefferson, because quarterback problems have been an issue. Like, I would be looking that way if you're going to move off of him or ride the ride a little bit longer.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah, if anything, if I were going to sell him, I would probably want more like a player and a first or something like that. I wouldn't want to just trade him for straight picks. It's like, oh, the picks could be anything. They could be Ibuka.
Yes. Brian Thomas and Ibuka were like the average 109 the last 2 years, and I skipped out on both of them. So whoever's at the 109 is going to be awesome.
Same. I have zero squares of
either. I would be trying to do, like, if I were trying to move down from Ibuka, I would be looking at like Thomas in a first.
Yeah, 100%.
Like that, trying to buy low on Thomas, get that capital as well.
Yeah. We have a listener question on him later, but he's clearly hurt with something. I didn't put him in the news because they're kind of, I think they're going on bye too. So it's just, we'll keep an eye on Thomas. But all right, Jaden Daniels' hamstring injury is not considered serious at this time, but they are monitoring ahead of the Monday Night Football game against KC. There's not a lot to talk about here. It's just he seems fine. Bryce Young, high ankle sprain, out multiple weeks. Dalton's going to start. For context, with the same injury, CeeDee Lamb was out 3 weeks. So, and I guess I'll just jump on top of this. We'll do a Panthers segment. Panthers are going to continue their running back by committee going forward, which sucks. Pewin, what are you doing with the Panthers?
I'm not really in, just in general, with many of the Panthers. I mean, I was trying to get out on Dowdle if I can. I mean, I couldn't get out of him for a second before because you never know what's going on with Chuba. If I can get out of Chuba for, you know, Chuba in my third for a second, I'd be doing that. But the backfield being so split, I don't like it.
Yeah, I have very little shares of, like, any Panthers. I have no doubt. I think I have one Hubbard. I have a couple Bryce Young. I have no Ted. So, yeah, I might be the wrong person to ask. But, yeah, I'm not super interested in the Panthers either. I have a couple Bryce Youngs just kind of, I think, on, like, rebuilds, just hoping, like, that he improved. But he's looking – not that he's – horrible, but it's not like he's going to be anything great anytime soon. So, yeah, I'm just not interested in the Panthers at all. Even on contending teams, I'm not really interested in buying into Dowdle or Hubbard. I know Dowdle went crazy, but I don't think that was going to keep up with or without Hubbard coming back. So, I'm kind of out on all the Panthers at this point.
Yep. The only buy low here potentially is Leggett, because Dalton appears to really like him, but it doesn't appear that Bryce is going to be out very long. So you're probably banking on a couple of weeks. So we'll have to see. And then Roman in the chat says, just bought Flacco for one game, most likely for Bill Kroski Merritt Empire League, and now have 70 point lead. Luckily have Bijan, Jacobs, Kyren, and Achan. Yeah, we're going to get to Flacco. Rocky has to apologize because he said Flacco wasn't going to mean anything in Cincinnati. All right,
you said Leggett. I've got to stop you on Leggett. What are you actually buying Leggett for?
A third, but the person who has him probably isn't going to sell him for that.
Exactly.
So if someone says this is my chance to get anything for Leggett, then maybe you can do it. But sure. I the only thing I saw was that Leggett had like 8 targets, and like 6 of them were when Dalton came in. So he clearly likes him. Tyrod Taylor's going to start for the Jets. Just another bold prediction wrong for me. I said they were going to be top 10 offense.
Justin Fields.
Let's start here. Don't drop him. Do not drop Justin Fields. It will be a revolving door. He will play again this season. I am willing to bet basically anything that he's going to play another game. But P1, what are you doing with the rest of the Jets? I think Garrett Wilson seems fairly insulated from quarterback, but
I've been out on Garrett Wilson, and that has looked great, and that's looked terrible, even though I've got his jersey behind me. But yeah. I've never been as high as the community on Wilson. Pretty much the only Jet I have a lot of is Brees, and that's been painful. You know, you see the talent there, but that offense just has to get moving more for me to trust him. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. I'm finding tiebreakers to sit Brees Hall, and I can't believe I'm doing that. But I'm still holding him, hoping that they can turn something around because he's too good.
Yep.
Rocky. Yeah, I mean, I agree that I think that Wilson is kind of QB insulated. I was kind of lower on him, but he's been like I have him on a redraft team this year because I do it with my son. He's been very good week to week.
Garbage time.
Yeah. And he had a good fantasy year last year too.
Yeah,
so I'm not really actively like trying to buy him, but I'm not looking to sell him either.
I'd buy him if someone gave me like a good price. Like,
well, yeah.
If I'm contending and I can get contending first for Garrett Wilson, I would do that personally. I don't know if you two would.
I mean, I would probably do that too. I'm not opposed to him, like just one first, but that's not the price that he gets.
Probably not. Yeah. But if someone's getting spooked, you might as well test the waters on that. Brees is fine, by the way. He got a little nicked up in the Panthers game, but he should be good for the Bengals game, which. If he can't do it against that team, I don't know what is going to happen. So, all right, last one. Kendre Miller torn ACL. Who knows with him at this point? He's ripped both his legs to pieces. So, if they trade Kamara, which, you know, mileage may vary. He says he's going to retire if they trade him. But if they do, Devin Neal's probably a monster because people liked him in the draft process and he's going to get a lot of work. So if you can throw a third for Devin Neal right now, now is not a bad time to do it. All right.
The downside is he's on the Saints.
Yes. Yeah, but work is work.
Kamara's been terrible.
Yeah. Work is work. I'll take a workload back regardless of position or team. I mean, season news done. Dolphins not expected to make any regime changes. Tua is still the starting QB. It sounds like they're just going to ride this out. And just if they're not going to fire him now, I think they're just going to run it out to the end of the season. Waller's week to week. Nico Collins concussion. Vikings designate Aaron Jones to return from IR and was limited in practice Tuesday. That's going to suck. That committee comes back. Hassan Haskins not expected to play Thursday. I know Vidal sucked. Roll him back out one more time. He's going to get all the work. Bowers and Jacoby Meyer should be ready for week 9. Myers has been in trade rumors as we get closer to the trade deadline, which is in 2 weeks, actually. It's the day of the show, so we're going to have a lot to talk about.
Ooh, fun.
Michael Penix, bone bruise day-to-day, but probably fine, and Purdy's most likely not to play this week. So does anyone have takeaways from the season news? Anyone doing anything
just
off of that?
Just that I am sad, for I have so many Tua shares.
Yeah.
I've never expected him to be a top five QB, but he was always solid. And just what's been happening this year is insane.
Yeah.
Not insane. I never expected him to be this bad. Like, I know a lot of people don't like Tua, but he generally, I thought, was underrated in terms of even just as a fantasy asset.
He'd be another Cousins for you.
Yes, so, exactly. Yeah. the guy that people hate, especially with the concussion issues. That could produce in that like QB 10 to 14 range. And he's just been so in a couple leagues I have him in this week that have pretty harsh quarterback scoring. He had negative like 7-ish. So it's been rough.
Yep.
I'd probably knocking on the Nico Collins door on the injury, especially with bye weeks this week too. Like, that offense has looked terrible, but he is so good.
So bad.
And if you can pry him loose, you know, it might not necessarily be a great contender buy, but you you got to hope that they turn that around, whether it's the end of the year or next year. I mean, Nico's just too good.
Yeah, I was just going to say exactly what you said at the end there. If you're contending, I don't know that I necessarily want to do that. But yeah, definitely, I feel like if you're in rebuild mode, he makes a lot of sense.
And then the other thing is kind of the same vein as the same thing with Purdy. Like, I think Purdy's got the chance to be the Kirk Cousins that you wanted Tua to be, where nobody really loves him, even though he's put up great numbers. And he's never going to be QB1, but I mean, he's been putting up what, QB5, QB6.
Yeah.
I think he'll can keep doing that. And
yeah, I'm actually kind of a Purdy guy now, Frank.
Yes. Uh-oh. Welcome. Making news here.
I don't generally go and buy quarterback any. I haven't found him to be super cheap, but if the injury helps, maybe I should go shopping a little bit and see what I can get him for. But yeah, I do like Purdy as a fantasy asset now. He's produced even when, you know, when guys go down. Like I always used to say, the supporting cast is what's propping him up. But it might just be Shanahan is what's propping him up, but still, Shanahan's there.
He's tied to Shanahan now.
Shanahan's not going anywhere, so yeah. And neither is Purdy. So, I like him for the foreseeable future.
Yep.
Yeah.
Can we do a quick grade the trade for a second in one of my non-TA leagues? Because it was a big one today, and it's involved a couple of players we've already talked about. So, one of these was me, but I'll go blind resume. So, Team A traded Jalen Hurts, Breece Hall, and a 27-second for Tua Tagovailoa, Trevor Lawrence, Travion Henderson, a 26-first, and a 27-first. Super flex. No tight end premium.
There's a lot going on there. What was the first part again?
Hurts, Hall, and a 27-second for Tua, Trevor, Henderson, and 2 firsts, let's say.
I'd still take I'd take the studs.
Yeah, I want the Hurts side too.
That's what I got. Yeah. So I'm 5-1 in that.
It feels like other than the first, you're getting a lot of junk for Hurts. And as much as I hate to say that with Tua in there again, but
and Travion, he's tanking and he's betting on Travion was the rationale. But I got the Hurts side.
And so, I've never been a Lawrence guy, so
right. So Dak and Hurts are my super flex QBs. So I'm very excited about this game. Anyways, I just wanted to see if I did overpaid. All right, P-Win, normally we let the guest decide this next part. Do you want to do trades or listener questions first?
Let's go to trades.
Trades. TradeX leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 per tight end reception and 0.05 per return yard in all leagues except TA1 because they'll never break. They always hold. And there aren't any TA1 trades, so we can move right on to TA2. We have Bill for a 26-second. I think we did this last week.
Was it?
I don't remember.
Unless maybe two different leagues made Bill for. That's true. Me and Peewee weren't here last.
I was going to say, if it's a late second, I'm holding it. If it's an earlier second, I'm probably taking the pick.
I think I take the second. I'm fine cashing out on Bill at a 26-second at this
point. Yep. I don't buy that Bill's going to be the workhorse after this year.
Oh, I don't either. I don't either.
Yeah,
I don't think he's going to be long term, but I think he has got the opportunity to keep working with that workload. And I think the more he produces, the more he might be worth it. He might be able to cash out for a second and third, 2 seconds. He's a piece.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't think he's ever going to be like a stud or anything. And feel like you drafted him probably in the fourth.
Yeah, this is a good return.
I'm fine taking this return and risking the fact that he can get slightly more. If he, you know, has a couple more games like he did a few weeks ago.
Yeah. I think if the Commanders are staring at Jeremiah Love, they're not going to be able to control themselves in the first round. So that's the big running back this year, Rocky at Notre Dame. So he's going to easily go first round. All right, next trade. Trey Benson, Kamani Vidal, and Darren Waller, the all contending team. And the four, Chuba Hubbard, Blake Corum, Bashaul Tutin, a 26-third and a 26-4th.
I think it's funny that you describe that as the all-contending team because I see a whole lot of trash here. So the contending pieces are the only ones that really would matter to me. I mean, Chuba, we talked about him a little bit earlier. I'm not sure, you know, how long he's going to be around. Corum hasn't really gotten a foothold, so he's just a grease in the wheels of a trade. Tootin hasn't been doing much either. So I'd rather take Benson. Benson's the only one that I look at this and say, I think he's got a chance at being a piece next year.
Mm-hmm. That was exactly my take on this trade. Is all I care about in this entire trade is Trey Benson. And even that's, you know, iffy. Because we don't really know what Trey Benson is yet either. And yeah, Kamani Vidal and Darren Waller in like 3 weeks might be like obsolete. So I've never been a big Chuba guy. Like we just talked about the Panthers earlier, and then everything else on that side is just whatever to me. So yeah, give me Trey Benson.
It's funny you guys both write off Tootin so fast, but say Benson could be the starter next year because ETN's a free agent after this year. So why are you not the same on Tootin?
Well, Benson is the starter right now. So yes, once he gets back, you know, he's got that chance to show that he can do it. He had better draft capital than Tootin in the first place. If ETN's gone, there's no reason why the Jags wouldn't draft someone over top of Tootin. There's no allegiance to say Tootin's going to be the guy next year. And obviously, Benson isn't either. I didn't say he's going to be the starter. I think he's got the best chance of anyone to be relevant next year.
Yep. I agree. I was just playing devil's advocate.
Or 26 fourth could have been Bill for all we know next year.
Yeah.
Next year's
Bill. Yeah. Okay. TA3, Rico for a 27 third. Feels like contending for picks to me.
Yep.
If you're contending, that's you want Rico.
Fair. That's fair.
I would have paid a third for him. Yeah.
I'd probably pay more than that even if there's any chance Chuba goes down again. I mean, maybe pay more than that, but not much more. Yeah, I don't know. All right, let's get to the bigger ones. Next one, Daniel Jones, Saquon, Dallas Goedert for Sam Darnold, the amazing Sam Darnold, top
basically
10 quarterback.
This is for the Seahawks.
Yes. So Sam Darnold, Jalen Milroe, Ken Walker, Jameson Williams, and AJ Barner.
It is so funny how many Seahawks are in this trade.
Yeah.
I'll take this moment though. I think I want the other side, but I need to take this moment to say how one of my bad takes from this past non-point scoring season is. I was shitting on the Seahawks offense the entire non-point scoring season. And they've looked pretty good, actually.
We were the exact opposite. We said, like, Walker and Charbonnet would be the best parts, and they're, like, the worst parts.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, JSN is killing it. Darnold has looked serviceable. I just had to point that out and point out my own bad mistake there. But I think I still prefer the other side. I think Jones is obviously going to be the starter the rest of the year. I think he could be the starter going forward. Saquon obviously has lost some luster. I think we kind of all, you know, saw this potentially kind of, maybe not as bad as it's been, but definitely, we talked about it. We didn't think he was going to be the stud he was last year. And I feel like Goddard is a little underrated, especially in tight end premium. He's not super consistent, but he does get a share of touchdowns, and then he'll occasionally throw out a game where he gets seven catches or something like that. We know I'm not a big Darnold guy, even though he has been fine this year. I've never been a big Kenneth Walker guy, and Charbonnet is way cutting into his work now. Mm-hmm. And Jameson Williams, I don't even know
what to make. Jameson,
I believe he got a bagel yesterday. It was yesterday. Yeah. So I just don't really like that side. So
no, I'm feeling the same way. I'm looking at this and I'm like, I don't really know what I want to do with this because, you know, Jones is obviously producing really well. I have him nowhere. Saquon is probably a buy low where you hope that they get it figured out for the rest of the year. And I'm right there with you on Goddard. Like I've been trying to sell him, but nobody values him as much as I do. So I'm not selling him anywhere because for some reason I seem to be the highest on him because he has been really solid. And on the other side, I think I think Walker is a huge buy low, especially if you're a rebuilder, because if he walks next year, I mean, he could end up anywhere. And you don't normally see, because I think he's what, 24, 25?
25, something like that, yeah. Young.
He looks really good. He's not getting the work. So he could end up in a fantastic situation. Darnold and Milroe, I mean, fine. Like, I just, there's a lot of people in here I don't have strong opinions on, which makes it a challenging trade to decide. I probably lean Walker, and I try to sell four of those five assets if I end up with that side of the deal. So it's a pretty fair trade. Let's put it that way.
Here's a fun question, and Pio, and I'll start with you because this is how you think about trades. Who's the best piece in this deal?
I have no idea, and that's actually part of the reason why I'm struggling with it.
Yeah.
I think it's the running backs to me.
I think it's Darnold.
What? He's been good, but
I know he's been.
Darnold's like QB 9 right now.
He is. I've got people who keep trying to sell me Darnold for pieces. I can't do it.
Yeah. It's not Saquon.
It's between the quarterbacks. Saquon, and this isn't even an Eagles thing.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Why?
I just think he probably – I mean, the line has not been great, and maybe that's going to be a problem all year, but I just can't see them being as bad running the ball as they've been an amazing running team for, like, years now.
Yeah,
and I just feel like they're going to get it figured out, and I don't think Saquon's lost anything. I don't think it's Saquon. I watch all the games.
Yep.
I don't think it's Saquon. I think it's the line, and if they can just it's been so bad that I can't imagine it's going to keep up with the way, you know, Statlin, their offensive line coach, is like one of the best offensive line coaches in the league. And I just feel like it's going to get figured out. And I still think Saquon's got multiple years left. And this was always going to be a down year. Like, I think he's one of those guys that's going to play until like his early 30s or something like that.
Wow. How many linemen are you missing? Two right now? Juergens and Dickerson?
Dickerson's been in and out. Yeah, he's been in and out. Juergens went out last game. Yeah. So, and they have a new right guard this year who has not played great.
Right. Yeah, I thought that Eagles game, and I watched a lot of it because Red Zone, that was the only game Red Zone really wanted to watch in that first slate. But that was the best the Eagles have looked, in my opinion, in this season. So
I think it's all about
– And even that, though, was mostly passing the ball. But
Yeah, I think it's expectations for Saquon. He's not going to put up 2,000 yards this year. He's not going to put up the, 150-plus every week. But he's going to have his games the rest of the year. You know, he's kind of come back down to the rest of the world when it comes to RBs, but that's still really good. So I think you can still count on him. But that's why I was hesitant. I'm like, is Saquon the best piece? You know, big non-point scoring season, easily we'd be looking at him as being the best piece here. But I think Walker's got the longer runway. I think he's got the potential. I mean, he looked amazing earlier in the year before he got hurt. So we'll see.
It's a fun trade. It's one of the most interesting trades I think we've talked about on the show in a while in terms of values and who's in it and balancing it out. So,
Let me ask a question.
Yeah.
So this was Jalen Hurts, Saquon, and Goddard for Darnold, Milroe, Walker, JSN, and Barner.
All Eagles and all easily, Seahawks.
Yeah, easily Eagles, because Hurts is the best piece by a mile. You'd have to add...
JSN is a pretty big add-on to that other side, though.
I'm sorry, you put JSN in it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I
might take the Seahawks then. Because Barner is just Goddard light, by the way. He's equally as volatile and
he's
or just as many.
Barner's not going to be anything next year.
Probably not.
So
yeah.
I think we saw the real Dallas Goddard this Sunday. I think him catching like a couple of balls and not a bunch of touchdowns. I think that was the real Dallas Goddard, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, I mean, he's a tight end, so it's all about the touchdown.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'd probably take the Seahawks, but man, it's close. We'll have to see.
It's really close for me too. I guess I'll just say as a homer, I'll take the Eagles.
Is Jason wide receiver 3? Are we there?
I'm not.
How many wide receivers are you taking above JSN right now? Nick Jefferson, obviously. Who's next?
Puka.
Okay. Monra or Jason?
I still have St. Brown.
Okay. How high are we going? Neighbors or JSN?
That's interesting.
I think I still prefer Neighbors. I think if I was desperate and that was the only way I could get a wide receiver to compete, I might be interested in, you know, doing the tiering and give me a pick. But I would say they're close.
Oh, wow. I just looked at, I didn't even realize. I just looked at the DLF ADP. Puka is wide receiver one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what happens when you put up the numbers he put up in the first, what, 5-6 weeks.
I know. I just still think it's just, you know, it's always been Jefferson and Chase. And
I think people are really getting scared of Burrow, that Burrow's not going to ever be able to stay healthy.
Yeah. And I know Chase wasn't great until that last game, but and he was still good. Actually, he was good. He still had, I think, one or two games before now where he was, you know, kind of chase-ish, but to knock him, Puka, I don't know. It's kind of wild to me. I'm just so used to seeing Jefferson Chase at the top. I wasn't expecting to see Puka's name there.
Yeah. Chase plays the Jets on Sunday with Flacco, who's going to want to throw it all over the place because the Jets got rid of him. So it'll be a fun game with no sauce, by the way, probably. All right. TA4, Jahmyr Gibbs and Sean Tucker for 226 first and a 27 first. And for context, the 26 first are likely late, one likely mid.
Yeah, I figured I'd throw that in there since we're starting to be able to have that kind of idea now at this point in the season.
P-Win?
As much as I'm a best player in the deal, three firsts for a player, that's always a selling point where I consider it, because what can you do with those firsts?
Anything.
Exactly.
It even
I take that 26 first and I go get Saquon at right now. Mm-hmm. I go get Walker, like we were just talking about. I go get a running back who puts me close. That's the kind of tiering deal that I do. I love stud running backs, but I tend to use them either to get myself into stud receivers or stud quarterbacks or replenish for picks. So I love Gibbs, but I probably lean the picks. But if I were making this deal myself, I would be trying to find another player to add to the Gibbs side to get another producer back. So can I get, I know that in this deal, Tucker's on the Gibbs side, but can I get a Tyler Algier? Can I get a Dowdle or a Chuba Hubbard added to the pick side? To help me with the contending. Obviously, if you're completely rebuilding, it's not as important, but I do still like to get those backup running backs because they have those flash points for sell opportunities.
Yeah.
When you mentioned the player, I thought you were going to say what I was thinking, which is I kind of agree with P1 that, like, I don't think I'm paying three firsts for any running back. I think very few guys am I paying three firsts for. And if they are, it's going to be, well, it value wise, it's a quarterback. I probably won't actually do it. Or a stud wide receiver. What I was going to say is, though, I would much rather have at least one player on that side of the deal, some other young player that's worth a first or two firsts, and then to just take two of the first out. But if this is like the take it or leave it, I need you take the first. I don't have a player to give you. I think I would move Gibbs for this. And, you know, obviously, if I'm, like, highly contending, maybe I think about it. But even then, like Pugin was saying, you could potentially just move those first for two other contending pieces, maybe a first each, and then still have a first, or 10-2 first for some stud wide receiver and still have a first. So, yeah, I think I would move Gibbs for this.
Yeah, sometimes you have to do the work, and it's annoying when you have to do the work. But sometimes you do have to do that work. So you a lot of times, if I'm in trade negotiations here, I put a pin in this offer and I start going to other teams and I start saying, hey, would you give me Brian Thomas for a mid first next year? Would you give me, you know, and start having those negotiations, because I'm the kind of person that does actually like to have those trade talks, unlike some people on this show or that have talked about on this show. I like having those chats going on. And actually, that's one of my favorite feelings, when you end up making a trade and then having two or three more cascading almost immediately after, where you look at that and someone's like, wait, you just did what? So sometimes you do have to do that work. But no, I agree. It's really hard to trade just for picks, but there's a lot that you can do with those picks.
I agree with everything these guys have said. I will say, if you were the guy who traded three firsts for Gibbs, you were really happy about that yesterday. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
So it is fun to have the good players sometimes. So I get it, but yeah, I'd probably lean the pick side. All right, TA6. We are somehow in the world where Aronde Gadsden went for a 26 first. P1, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's not where I'm at. I mean,
to J Mike, no less. I believe he paid the 26 first.
Yeah.
You know, I would just want, if I were to send that trade through, to make sure that I talk with my commish to make sure I get the week's points included in the trade. So can I get Gadsden into my lineup in week seven? I can't get there, but it would be, I mean, Gadsden's the kind of guy, he's got the athleticism. He could be something, but these are the kind of tight ends that flash and they can go either way. You know, they can flash once and be done, or this could be the start of something. We just don't know. And I'm not paying a first for that right now.
Yep.
Yeah, totally agree. There's no, I have zero Gadsden, but there's no, if I did, there's no world where I'm, or I'm sorry, if I wanted Gadsden, there's no world where I'm paying a 26 first for him.
Yeah. The funny thing is, I actually started Gadsden in, I think, two leagues because I was so desperate for tight end. So I was enjoying actually getting points out of him. So
yeah, I love this trade for the person. I think it was Tommy that sold.
Tommy or Har? I don't remember which one. Yeah,
I can't remember. It might have been Har. But yeah, I love this trade for whoever sold Gadsden. Like, again, another guy you got with a later draft pick, and to get a 26 first out of that is amazing.
Yeah,
and because it was J Mike, he's probably going to be like worth three.
That's what Roman said. That's what Roman said in the chat, is that J Mike can do that trade, of course. Because yeah, you're right. J Mike's going to be right about this somehow. But those who have listened to me for a long time know that I grew up on kind of the CBS fantasy podcast. And Adam Azer, who's the host, put it this way on Sunday, is I always find it hard to believe in a player when the quarterback threw 56 times in a game, right? Because that target share isn't always repeatable. And that those performances aren't always repeatable. So you got to see it again. And I think Gadsden's two best games, Herbert threw over 50 times. So we have to – that might just be the offense, though. We don't know. But I don't think he's worth a first yet. All right. This is the Rocky Frank hate trade. So we have Michael Penix for Ladd McConkey. Yuck.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of where I am.
That's my summary.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning Ladd myself, but that's tough. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Penix looked great at the beginning of the year, but it hasn't really continued. But we'll see. It's amazing how these trains change just week to week.
He's one of the most volatile QBs in the league, not named Justin Fields. Because he can have that 30-0 loss to the Panthers, and then he can play well. He actually played well against the Niners. Not amazing, but well. And
he's I just wonder why he can't throw it to London if Mooney's active.
Like, I know.
What's the problem there?
He can only see one receiver a game, so he has to pick. Rocky, I know you don't like either one, but
I know this is so tough.
Rocky wouldn't do this trade. This isn't.
No, I wouldn't have it. I actually have a share to a Penix. I wouldn't have McConkey to trade, and I wouldn't trade for McConkey. But, gosh, I don't, like I said, like you said, I don't really like either one. My gut tells me to lean towards the quarterback, but he also has not looked that great.
I mean, who do you think you can turn into a first and a second more easily?
Ladd.
Yeah, probably Ladd. You find the Ladd believer, and
I don't think there are a lot of Penix believers.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So that's a good argument. P1 just talked me into it. I'll take the Ladd. So
you heard it here first, right?
Yeah. All right. Trey Benson for Breshard Smith in a late 26 second. Are we buying Breshard Smith yet?
I'm buying the second. I think the second and the piece, that's probably where I am, but I think it's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this was a contender rebuilder trade to me.
Yeah. I do think it's pretty fair. I think there's a shot though that Benson's going to be worth more than that if you hold on to him. So I would rather have the Benson side.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have the Benson side too. And I think it's funny that Benson was like the darling that everyone wanted to buy this season, and now like he played two games and we're already done with him because he got hurt. And I don't know.
I feel like when he first came in too, people were trying to get first for him.
Yeah.
Like, once Connor got hurt. So
yeah, I think people just don't believe in this Cardinals offense and they have every right to not. So
yeah, I'm guilty. I was trying to sell for firsts like crazy. Yeah. I couldn't get a first. I turned down 2 seconds right before he got hurt. And I kind of regret that.
Yeah. All right. James Cook for DeAndre Swift, a 26 first that's likely late in a 26 third. In P wins TA10.
I thought this was a good trade, honestly.
This wasn't you, right?
No, this was not me.
Neither of us.
No. It seems kind of like a rebuild contender, except Swift is one of those pieces where Swift is actually competing or producing really well. So I probably lean that side because I think Cook is really volatile. Like he's looked great the first couple of years, but then or for a couple of weeks, but then he's kind of, you know, pittered off with that offense. So I tend to like to turn running backs into more pieces if I can in the picks and the producing. I think Swift will produce about the same. The pick can give you more. If you are rebuilding, I think Swift has another sell window because he's looked really great too.
This one's tough for me because Cook is one of those guys, I've talked about this before, where I didn't like him that much coming in. But when you flip me, like after you come in and I flip and I start to like you, then I end up over liking that guy, basically, if I flip my opinion on you. And so I really like Cook a lot. But I think I got to agree with Pewin here. I think because especially with the way Swift's producing, the Bears offense has actually been pretty decent with Ben Johnson. And
the Bears offense, not Caleb. Sorry.
Yeah, I said that's what I said. The Bears offense. But I'm saying I think they're like top 10 in scoring or something like that. So I think I saw that over the weekend. So in terms of actual NFL scoring. So like you just said, Swift is getting you points. You're getting the first out of it. I think it's a fine tear down. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually stuck on this trade because I agree with most of what you guys said. And I think Swift is doing very well. I think the line has finally started to come together in Chicago. And I also think just that Baltimore game is going to have like 60 points because neither team can play together. But I think the Bills are going to come out of the bye with their hair on fire and ready to show everyone how good they are again. And I think Cook's going to be a big part of that. So I would take Cook, but I would understand both sides, especially if I'm contending, I'm taking Cook. Cause I think I think the Bills are going to come out of that bye and beat the Panthers by 2 touchdowns this week. I think they're going to come on, show everyone how good they are. So I would probably take Cook, but I agree with you guys. He's very volatile. So, all right. Listener questions. Dynastud's got his list. I'm not saying it out loud. Terrifying Halloween, week 8 by Apocalypse. How would you decorate your house for Halloween to reflect the current state of active fantasy lineup options? And then he said, but seriously, who are your favorite reserve stashes who are filling in for you this week?
You know, it's funny. I've barely had a chance to look at my lineups for this next week. but I know it's going to be ugly. I mean, this is where this is where legends are made. You know, you pick the random tight end, it's the two touchdowns or whatnot. Yeah. I think it's guys like maybe even like a P Ryan in Cincinnati because they've got a good matchup and, you know, Brown can't run every time. So, you know, maybe you get that second player, try to find silly to put it this way, but like Jamison Williams, you're going to feel really good about starting him. Actually, they're on bye, I believe now. now that I think about it. But, you know, finding the guys on the field, that's really going to be what it's all about.
Yeah, I don't have any particular names off the top of my head. I'm like P. Wynn. I generally, like Thursday, I finally go through all my lineups and start setting them. So I don't know if there's anyone that specifically, I mean, this is almost like sort of a redrafty question to me. Like,
there's a couple of these this week. So,
yeah. So I just, it's not something I was really thinking about.
I mean, it's backup running backs too. I tend to have a lot of backup running backs that
I was just about to say that,
throw them out there. You know, you might get the Algier touchdown. You might get the, you know, that other guy. I mean, I tend to have people that are at least hitting the field. Yeah. So that's where I'd be looking.
So I'm just scrolling through this game right now. There's a lot of games where there's some bad defenses in play. So like Denver, you get to start all the wide receivers because they play against the Cowboys. So you get some Mims, you get
Franklin.
Trey Franklin. Atlanta plays Miami, so P wins. Tyler Algier can get a good amount of work when they're up by 50 points. Chicago, Baltimore, I already said. So like Bateman, maybe you can throw in there. You might catch a stray touchdown. Jets, Cincinnati. There's a lot of these like bad defense games this week. So, you know, for six teams on a bye, you can really kind of find some interesting plays. And then Indianapolis plays Tennessee at home. So they can get a lot of scoring against that Titans D. So it's interesting. I don't know. But we can move on. Ignore Dynasty for a second and just think lineups. What type of flex options are you starting over T. Higgins? Are you starting T. Higgins over after the Flacco era started off so strong for him? Am I starting him over Brees, Jalen Warren, Olave, or Keenan Allen? Ewan?
I'm probably starting him over Keenan, but that might be it. So I'll believe in Brees with the matchup, like we were saying before. If he doesn't do it this week, when's he going to do it? I actually think Jalen Warren's a big buy. I think he's got a great end of season schedule. He's looked really good. He's got the trust of Rodgers, and when you've got the trust of Rodgers, that's important on that team. I mean, Olave's just had so much volume. So I'd say Olave and Higgins are probably a toss-up, but I think they're more reliable just because Keenan Allen, I mean, with the stud Rondé Gadsden showing up, there might not be any targets left for Keenan anymore. But there's just so many targets there. So I go Higgins.
Rocky, I know you don't love start sit questions, so if you want to opt out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a strong feeling on this. I would probably start him over Keenan. I probably would start him over Olave, but I'm also a T Higgins stan like Russ, so and probably, yeah, I'd probably go with the running backs, though.
I will pivot out of redraft into dynasty. Rocky, what are you paying for Joe Flacco if you're a contender in need of a QB?
Oh, I'm not paying more than maybe like a third or two thirds. I'm not giving a second for him. And even then, I don't think I would pay two thirds. I'd pay a third.
P-Win, more or less, are the same.
I'm probably in the same boat if I absolutely had to, maybe a late second for an early to mid third. But I'm not normally in that spot where I need to pay for, you know, a starting quarterback. So if I really need a starter, I mean, he's a great one to have, but I'm not paying for it. I picked him up on waivers or got him super cheap before.
And I know this last game was great, but he was awful in Cleveland. Like, he was awful.
New York Jets. New York Jets.
So, I mean, I'm not banking on that you're going to get the, like, this is the Joe Flacco we were hoping for, you know, this late era Joe Flacco who just can come in and be a backup and revitalize offenses. But that was not what he was at the beginning of the season. And I know Cleveland's a horrible organization, but the Bengals have a pretty crappy line too, and I didn't watch the game, so I don't know what the protection was like this past week. But I worry about that holding up.
I think it really comes down to if he's just going to throw it to Chase 50, 55% of the time, he's going to be fine.
Yep.
That was just unbelievable. And I unfortunately did watch the game and it was very painful watching that game. that's the game plan for it. I think that's why he struggled in Cleveland, because he didn't have that target to focus on. But I don't know how long it's going to last. You know, Chase is amazing, but eventually if that's all he's going to throw to, they're going to start putting 2, 3, 4 people on Chase, and it's not going to be the, you know, to what, 164 yards and something like that Chase had. So,
I mean, you say that, but which of these games really scares you? How many of these games? So Jets, Bears, bye, Steelers, Patriots.
The bye week scares me.
Yeah, bye week, yes, yep. And then Steelers, Patriots, Ravens, Bills, Ravens, Dolphins, Cardinals, Browns. Browns is week 18, so that doesn't. His playoff schedule is Ravens at home, Dolphins, and Cardinals.
That's fair.
So
if he makes it that long.
Yes.
But I'm telling you, I think you might have a sneaky, and I'm going to say league winner with so much grain of salt here, but like you might have a league winner. If you have them.
Yeah, I have a couple rosters I already had them on. I have not bought Joe Flacco anywhere. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like anybody's going to want a second for him. I would need to see like a month of this before I pay a second.
Yeah. Let's get to Eric's question in the chat before we move on. He said, if you have an aging roster, a middle of the pack record, no picks, and just lost Mike Evans. Wow. Holy cow. Would you be looking to stay the road or get out of the productive old guys and look to the future? P1?
Oh, that sounds miserable.
It does. Did your goldfish die on top of that? I mean, holy cow.
I mean, I think you got to look at your points too. Like aging roster, middle of the pack.
Yes.
Middle of the pack record doesn't say everything. So, you know, if you're truly a middling team and you just lost Evans, well, Evans wasn't giving you points in the first place. So that Evans didn't really hurt you. You just don't have that boost. So if you think you can sneak in the playoffs, I mean, can you buy Jaylen Warren? Can you buy, you know, we haven't talked about him, but Davante Adams could be a league winner. Like, can you buy a couple of these on the cheaper side that get you at least into the playoffs? You know, one of the things, you know, I don't think people talk about or think about a lot is your incentive structure in your league. Sometimes when you're looking at your league and your payouts are only for first and second place, that's a lot different than leagues that everyone who makes the playoffs gets a little bit back. So you might even want to look at that when you're making that decision.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think it's funny, right? Because points four is like actually the stat that matters, not necessarily record, because you could be 4-2 with, you know, ninth in points because you're lucky. So I agree. I think points definitely matters, but it just depends on what you can get for them. Right?
I always try to put a tweet out at the end of the fantasy season and I say, look at the roster of the team that just won your championship. Yep. Does this look like the roster that you thought would win the championship at the beginning of the year? Because it never does.
Yeah.
Like you'll always, you know, what, 20, 30% of the time you've got the stud that clears the league, goes 12-0 in the regular season and sweeps the playoffs. But that doesn't happen all the time. Mm-mm. Sometimes you just got
the guys starting like Jonnu Smith and Joe Flacco last year. Yeah. Something like that.
If you had a Raven last year, you basically won the title because the Ravens went bananas during the playoffs. So, no, I think that's a good point. Eric, if you need more, tell us. He and Herms traded for the Swift side. So, or did he trade for Cook? I don't know.
He traded for Cook.
I like the Cook side still, Herms.
Double check, but.
All right, on to Dynastud's next question. He said, what the heck are we doing with BTJ at this point? Has to be something secretly wrong with his shoulder coming in because that injury play made no sense. Injury play he's talking about, if people didn't see it, he got kind of like jammed at the line and just went straight down and was grabbing his shoulder. So clearly something was wrong before that. But Peeman, you've already kind of talked about BTJ, but what are you doing with him now?
I mean, I think he's a great rebuilding buy for sure. I don't know what is going on. I am a little worried because he broke out with Mac Jones last year. He hasn't really had the full connection with Lawrence, and I don't know if that's a Lawrence thing or that's a BTJ thing. I still trust in him, but he's definitely, his value has dropped a ton. I thought he was up toward that upper echelon of receivers. I had him pretty close up with neighbors in the non-point scoring season. But obviously things have gone in different directions drastically with them. So I'm still buying on the way down, but definitely not buying as high as I was before.
Yeah, I thought basically since the end of last season that he was a little overvalued to begin with, in part because of something Peewin said there, which is that he's tied to Trevor Lawrence. I will never stop ragging on Trevor Lawrence. Sorry, people.
I'm not a fan of his either. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't have any BTJ. I was regretting that last year, not so much this year. I think if you have him, you know, what are we doing with him at this point? I think you have to hold. I mean, I'm not selling him. No one's going to pay what they were paying a couple months ago. So I'm hoping it gets better. He did have a decent game. So maybe it will be getting better. But I think I would just be holding at this point. I'm certainly not buying.
I agree with Roman. You're just holding and see what you can get.
Cry.
Yep, and cry. yeah, we'll have to see. All right. Dyna Stud's a real sicko on this last question. You'll see why in a second. At what point does quantity overtake quality? Quantity overtake quantity. I think he meant quality. Is there some point which you won't give up a haul of third and fourth rounders for something worth a first plus? Because I just made this deal on a contending team in a Superflex 1.75 tight end premium. He got Vidal and Kittle for JT Sanders, Isaiah Bond, and 9 third and fourth round picks. And my comment in the show sheet is, are you a psycho? You are for having 9 third and fourths in the first place. But that, I mean... Peewin, this has to make you shiver as a guy who goes for the best asset in the draft to have 9 third and fourths.
You know,
I wonder if he's playing with children.
I feel like there's a guy, like everybody's got a guy like this in their league that, you know, you get a trade offer and you look and you're like, oh, he's sending me 7 players for one guy. And I'm like, this one guy, I don't even really like that much, but I don't want your 7 pieces of trash.
I'm that guy.
So that's why I quickly realized I needed to caveat what I said at the beginning of the show. Like, I'm not doing this kind of trade when I'm saying I want the best asset. Like, I'm all about adding 4 or 5 third and fourth round picks in order to get a deal done, as long as it was close in the first place. But ultimately, you got to think about these assets as, what are you going to have any sort of valuation on in the future? And I think the only thing that ideally you're going to have much of the only thing that makes much of a difference in this trade is Kittle. And yes, Vidal might get another couple weeks, but that's about it.
Ari went to the Tyler School of Trading, man. I mean, this is Tyler's trades to a T. He stacks a bunch of third and fourths and then gets rid of them for a piece.
You know, best player in the trade sometimes is a third round pick. So
yeah,
not opposed to having a third round pick or having
not 9 of them. I always try and consolidate, especially with thirds. And if I'm rebuilding, like when I get thirds is in the draft itself. And Rocky, I know, is one of these people too, mm-hmm. where you're sitting at the 210 and someone needs to jump up. And you get the 303 and the 30. Like, that's when I get thirds, is in the draft itself, when I know I have people sitting there waiting for me. Getting thirds now is always hard. So,
well, I'll push back on you a little bit here, because thirds are wonderful pieces to have this time of year, because this is when everyone is starting to realize, like Eric was just talking in the chat, I'm a middle of the road team. I'm old. Shoot, I need picks. Well, if we told Eric to sell and we say, oh, he's got Davante Adams on his team and he's selling, well, maybe 3/3 will get Davante Adams.
Yeah.
And that's where you can actually make an impact with those picks, because during draft season, I feel like that's the flashy time of year where those thirds, you value them too much. Because, you know, if we look at our third round, we were like, oh, this, I can't believe this guy fell to the third round. Mm-hmm. And we're taking the Dylan Sampsons or whoever that didn't end up doing anything, even though it was a great value. And we really wanted to take that player in the third.
Okay, I have to make a comment here because I didn't even realize this is what this was when Eric sent that question. But this, the team he's referring to is me. And he sent me what I consider, I think, is a pretty bad offer. So I'm just going to read it. Because I'm the team that will just lost Mike Evans, is middle of the pack and has no picks.
How long? So did you realize that when he asked the question, or did it
take- No, I didn't. But then I realized, I did know he was in TA1. And then I was thinking, and then I saw the offer on my phone and I was like, oh. So he wants me to send him Aaron Rodgers, because he wants me to get out of the, you know, my middling team, I guess. Aaron Rodgers, Javonte Williams, Davante Adams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Jalen Waddle for Nico, Chig, and Genty.
It's not awful, but it's not.
I didn't like it.
Yeah.
No, it's. It's buying
Rodgers is done guys. After this year, in theory, right? Most likely.
Yeah, man. I'm the one sending all the old guys. I wouldn't care about the Rodgers part of it. But to me, Amon-Ra greater than Nico.
I was going to say Amon-Ra and Genty are close enough that you can wash those two. And then you're dealing with Nico for the rest of the pieces.
For Javonte and what?
Javonte, Rodgers, Adams.
And Waddle.
And Waddle. Like, there's another piece. Yeah. It's too much.
It's too much.
Yeah.
But I think if you took Waddle out, you could have a conversation.
I mean, if Puka is out for another week, like if he's out post bye, I wouldn't be surprised if you get a late first for Adams coming out of the bye.
Yeah.
Like on his own. And I mean, Waddle and a first for Nico right now, that's not terrible, and then you're giving Javonte and Rodgers for free. That's kind of how I'd break it.
And also, I wouldn't have Genty as high as Amon-Ra, like you were saying earlier, either. To me, like Genty should be good, but he is with the Raiders, and he hasn't been. So,
I'm with you there too. I was just saying they're probably close enough that for a quick breakdown. No, I'd prefer Amon-Ra.
But I feel like I could get Genty, and he could, his value could go down, like by the end of the year. So
yeah, and you're not wanting to really buy a running back in your rebuild anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. Even if he is a rookie. And if I was, I'd want to know for sure he's a stud rookie, and I'm not sure of that yet. So
yeah.
So if it was Scadabo, you'd be in.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Well, that's the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Pewin, for coming on. Before we head on out, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. This was a lot of fun. Go check out roster-.com. Like I said at the beginning, it's a league management tool. Right now it's focused mainly for MFL, but instead of just being able to see your leagues, you're actually able to do stuff with your leagues. So send out offers, set your lineups without having to go into every single league one at a time. So it's really helped me with my efficiency this year, giving me back some time to actually look into the leagues, look into sending out those offers and enjoying time, having fun with my leagues instead of feeling like they're all work. So thanks for having me, guys.
Yep. Yeah, of course. Our stuff, patreon.com/TreeXPod. You can watch us while we record. You can see Pewin's monster wall of jerseys that apparently is only like half. So, maybe next time we have him on, he can do the other wall. And
sounds good.
Yeah. And we also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club, talking trades, talking news. And then, of course, the most important thing, Fantasy Cares. Recap shows for S&P on Tuesdays, trivia Tuesday nights, Wednesday night hangout. And I think that's it. So as Rush for sure always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone.
Good night, Frank.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLS family of podcasts and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy fan. Daddy's the best. See ya.